Hi, I'm Dave Redlar. Welcome to Jazz Rhythm. In the mid-1930s, guitarist Dick McDonough was one of the busiest guitarists in New York City, making several hundred recordings. He shared a common outlook and style with the other significant pioneers of jazz guitar, Eddie Lang, Carl Kress, and George Van Epps. Guitarists like McDonough brought a fresh new voice to jazz and popular music by drawing on the guitar's ability to play both single-string lines and chords, as heard in McDonough's Chasin' a Buck. A terrific late 1930s guitar solo by Dick McDonough, Chasin' a Buck, launching this second of three programs about pioneers of jazz guitar. I'm Dave Radlauer. Welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. During a brief musical career, guitarist Dick McDonough became one of the busiest session players in New York City, performing and recording on hundreds of discs with the Dorsey Brothers, Red Nichols, Benny Goodman, and a half dozen other bands, singers Billie Holiday, Lee Wiley, and the Boswell Sisters, and on NBC Radio. With the other pioneers of the late 20s and early 30s, Eddie Lang and Carl Kress, Dick McDonough helped fashion a new style of jazz guitar. The raw materials for this new sound were the guitar's uniquely malleable harmonic structure and its ability to voice either a single-string melodic line or chords, chordal passages, and to alternate between or combine single-string melody lines and chords. Now, Eddie Lang, who was featured in the first program of this series, was the greatest master of blending single-string and chordal techniques. After his untimely passing in 1933, McDonough was among those who further developed Lang's chord-supported solo, plucking the melody with mainly single notes while strumming three or four note chords for underpinning. Thank you. Oh, that is exquisite. Dick Bernstein Ramble, Dick McDonough in the late 1930s. And of course, besides his solos and working in lots of bands, McDonough had his own short-lived orchestra. They recorded a couple of dozen sides in 1936-37. Clarinetist Artie Shaw, who was in one of those sessions, credited McDonough with a whole new approach to the guitar as a jazz instrument. And McDonough was also brilliant in the guitar duo form, waxing elaborately structured, seemingly impossible duets with Carl Kress. Heatwave, a song popular in the 30s, revived several times since, played by the guitar duet of Dick McDonough and Carl Kress. Sadly, McDonough's life was cut short, and a year later, he was dead of alcoholism at age 33 or 34. This is Pioneers of Jazz Guitar on the award-winning Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. I'm Dave Radlauer. Still ahead this hour, more from Carl Kress, the remarkable guitarist and inventor George Van Epps, and the elusive Snoozer Quinn. Compared to a guy like McDonough, the guitar style of Teddy Bunn might seem a little bit less sophisticated, but on the other hand, it's more direct and earthier. Even though he was a versatile performer on record in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s with Duke Ellington, James P. Johnson, Lionel Hampton, and Sidney Bechet, Teddy Bunn's discography is skimpy. In 1939 and 40 at Blue Note Records, he was part of the legendary Port of Harlem 7, what amounted to a series of jam sessions. He accompanied Bechet's soprano sax on Sidney's first big hit, Summertime. And Bunn was featured on solo discs of his own. Thank you. Teddy Bunn's interpretation of Jelly Roll Morton's King Porter Stomp. For me, Bunn's most uplifting music comes from the Five Spirits of Rhythm. This was a delightful little vocal harmony hokum and jive band. It was notable for Leo Watson's uninhibited scat vocals and unusual for a lineup of guitar and 4- and 10-string tipples played by the Daniels Brothers. Now, the tipple is a diminutive guitar that's between the size of a ukulele and a regular guitar, but tuned differently and often having double runs of strings like a mandolin. Known for their wild antics and Leo Watson's zany scatting, the Spirits of Rhythm recorded only 24 sides under various names, but they were quite popular on 52nd Street in New York City, where they were billed as the Mad Monks of Rhythm. Spirits of Rhythm have a lilting swing propelled by the 4- and 10-string tipples of brothers Wilbur and Douglas Daniels. Now, the tipple has a distinctly sweet sound from its diminutive size. It's between the size of a guitar and a ukulele, and sometimes has doubled strings, setting proof friendly for Teddy Bunn's guitar.
Looking around for you. bubble dee bee bowly bowsy. I love a parade, love a little good team, body boot. A team, and boot. Round, 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 thinking of years apart.
Willow, weep for me. Willow, weep for me.
I can't believe you'd leave me with a broken.
Willow, weep for me. Willow, weep for me.
Make myself blue. Thinking of you. I can't believe you'd throw you through. As I walk in this town, I'm looking around for you. For you.
Teddy Bun Guitar with the Five Spirits of Rhythm. I'm Walking This Town, 1933. Now, despite his stellar swing credentials, Teddy Bun's sound was firmly based in the blues, which is a predominantly single-string tradition. Unusual for his time, Teddy did not use a pick, but strummed with his thumb, which gave him a richer, mellower sound than his contemporaries. Our best unaccompanied portrait of Teddy Bun is from 1939 and 40 at Blue Note Records, where he recorded his only solos. Guitar and High, Teddy Bun at Blue Note Records in 1940. Bun was always forward-looking. Early to amplify his guitar around 1940 when he was with Lionel Hampton, Teddy's blues outlook assisted his later transition to jump blues and rock and roll, working for Louis Jordan and Big Joe Turner. And even in his final years, blind and in poor health, Teddy was planning a comeback in 1978, shortly before his passing in Lancaster, California. This is the second of a three-part examination of early jazz guitarists on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thank you for joining me. You can find part one in this series about Eddie Lang and a rich palette of early jazz resources at the Jazz Rhythm website, Jazz Hot Big Step. That's all one word, jazzhotbigstep.com. Next time, we'll be hearing the formidable Charlie Christian, who in 1939 launched the electric guitar on its path to wide popularity. And still ahead this hour, what the first guitar solo recording in America sounded like. The brilliant guitarist and aeronautical engineer George Van Epps and the remarkable Carl Kress. Okay, next we turn to poor old Snoozer Quinn. Now, of late, there's been a renewal of interest in Snoozer, thanks in large part to the music archive of Tulane University, which recently exhibited archival film footage, photos, instruments, and mementos of guitarist Edward McIntosh Snoozer Quinn. He was raised in or near New Orleans and was yet another child prodigy. By age 7, Quinn was fluent on several stringed instruments. He was a shy, private individual who suffered from tuberculosis, alcoholism, and apparently a slightly misshapen head. In his early days, Snoozer toured the Southwest with various bands, including the legendary Peck's Bad Boys. He was discovered at a New Orleans jam session in 1928. Frankie Trumbauer and Bix Beiderbecke urged Paul Whiteman to hire him, which he did on the spot. Quinn soon had one of the highest reputations in New York City. Many declaimed him even better than Eddie Lang, and Snoozer, in fact, was idolized by Eddie. But his 1928 solo recordings were lost and never issued. And you can't really hear him on the Paul Whiteman stuff. Fortunately, Snoozer is heard briefly on a couple of Trumbauer discs, backing trumpeters like Bix Beiderbecke. But Snoozer wasn't really cut out for the music business. Shy and retiring, and unwilling to tour, he soon left New York City, returning home, disappearing from music history, except for a notable footnote. Now, this last chapter is like a scene out of a movie. Only a year before the end of Snoozer's life, out of nowhere, New Orleans trumpeter Johnny Wiggs walks into Quinn's hospital room with his trumpet and a home disc recorder. He and Wiggs recorded there together, Wiggs thereby unwittingly helping rescue from complete obscurity this poor, misshapen, tuberculosis-riddled, alcoholic wreck of a man. Snoozer Quinn, Out of Nowhere. The elusive Snoozer Quinn, recorded on a home disc recorder in his hospital room a year before his death by trumpeter Johnny Wiggs. And I must say, even after restoration, that 1948 disc has no right to sound that good. As I've said, Snoozer's been rescued from obscurity recently thanks to the Tulane University archives and the website dedicated to his name and music, snoozerquinn.com. I'm Dave Radlauer. I hope you're enjoying these pioneers of jazz guitar on Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. Still ahead, guitarist and inventor George Van Epps, Carl Kress, who was second only to Eddie Lang in early guitar style, and the guy who made the first solo guitar record in America. When Eddie Lang, Carl Kress, and these other early jazz guitar pioneers started recording in the late 20s, it was the banjo that was well established as the most popular plucked or strummed instrument in American music. In many genres, banjo was king for concertizing, soloing, and accompaniment. And in the rhythm sections of early jazz bands and dance orchestras, its metallic voice rang out over the din of horns. But around 1930, the introduction of more sensitive electrical microphones in recording, broadcast, and public address systems leveled the field for guitar, spotlighting its subtle tones and refined harmonics. So that by the time of Lang's death in 1933, with a musical revolution underway, no swing band leader would have considered hiring a banjo. Now we turn to the duo of Tony Gattuso and John Cali. Cali was a self-taught native New Yorker who, aside from his guitar playing, became famous as a violinist and banjo player before the year 1920, and again later as a concertizing mandolin player. His career included lots of studio work backing early country western singers like Gene Autry and Vernon Dalhart, in addition to a fair number of jazz guitar duets, like this one, backing Tony Gattuso. Gattuso's lead of single string runs, alternating with melody chording, and his expressive tone and vibrato are very much in the style of Eddie Lang, who was the most popular and inventive guitarist of the 20s. Tony Gattuso, backed by John Cali, hitting on all six and a study in brown. Thank you. The guitar duo of Tony Gattuso, backed by John Calley, from probably the mid-30s. Hitting on all six and a study in Brown. This is Pioneers of Jazz Guitar on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer.